Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on those things that permit instances of ghibah, instances of backbiting. So we're explaining that in Shariat, backbiting is a general rule. To speak something that your brother dislikes is impermissible. However, there are certain exceptions to the rule, and these exceptions are what has been discussed in this chapter. So there are certain cases where this rule now is allowed to be, an exception is allowed to this rule. In other words, you are allowed to backbite your brother. And then Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has brought six such instances. So this is what we are currently discussing. So just to recap, the first instance is, or the first overlying principle or underlying principle is that a person must have a certain objective in mind. And it's impossible for him to reach that objective except by speaking out against his brother. And then he goes on to explain that that person that is mazloom, that person that is oppressed. So that is number one. Person who is oppressed, he can take his case or her case to some authority, and that authority can help to deal with that situation. So that is number one. Number two is a person sees some wrong and he's trying to change that wrong. We gave an example of the ustad telling the father of the child that this is what your child is doing, so that the father can change that wrong. So for the purposes of making some change. And then Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has brought a warning to this one. He said that the intention must be that you want to make a change. If it is any other intention that you got in your heart to go and report that child or to report someone or to speak bad, then now it becomes haram. It's not permissible. Your niyat must be specifically to change that wrong. So this was number two. Number three we did yesterday is where a person is asking a fatwa. He's asking a question. He's in a predicament. He's in a case. He got a situation with his brother. He got a situation with his father. He got a situation with the estate, maybe the executor of the estate, or whoever it may be. Wife may be having a question about the husband. So in the case where a person is asking a fatwa, then in this case also, person may mention who the person is, so that the person that is reading the fatwa is getting a much better understanding of the situation. However, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah, they also mentioned that it's better that if you use a third person, that if somebody did this, what would be the situation, what would be the ruling? It's better if that was done. But if that wasn't done and it was asked as it is, then also it will be permissible. So today we come to the fourth instance. The fourth instance, الرابع تحذير المسلمين من الشر ونصيحتهم وذلك من وجوه. So in the fourth instance, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has brought is warning the Muslims about an evil and advising them about an evil. So there are various forms of this. So under this fourth category, he brings a few points. So today we'll do one of them, inshallah, explaining that what can make up warning of Muslims about an evil and advising them. So the first one that he brings, minha جَرْحُ الْمَجْرُوحِينَ مِنَ الرُّوَاتِ وَالشُّهُودِ وَذَلِكَ جَائِزٌ بِإِجْمَاعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَلْ وَاجِبٌ لِلْحَاجَةِ. So the first one, he is declaring certain narrators and witnesses as unreliable. This is permissible by consensus of the Muslim ulama. In fact, it is wajib, obligatory, due to necessity. So let's just get an example or understanding what is being said here. So declaring certain narrators, number one, as unreliable. So which narrators here are we speaking about? From the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll find that a sahabi would hear a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would narrate it and there would be someone that would listen to it. So that becomes the narrator of the hadith. And then he in turn now narrated, for example, his student would become the narrator of hadith. And like that, from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would come down. So what did the muhaddithin do? Is they went and they scrutinized each narrator at every level of the hadith. Why? Because now it will create a certain level of assurance that these words that we are listening to are actually the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this science is unique to Islam. No other religion has got this, where every narrator has been scrutinized in detail, that his memory was like this, his habits were like this, this is what he was known for. So now this won't be ghibat about the narrator of the hadith. It's actually there to protect the Mubarak words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we read a hadith with all the chain of narrators, the person has got a certain level of confidence that this hadith has been quoted from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a certain level of i'timad, reliance placed on that hadith. Now this is the reason why they did this. So we won't consider this to be ghibat. Or sometimes it will even be mentioned that this narrator is known to be a fabricator, or this narrator is extremely weak. So now this won't be ghibat, but actually it is necessary for the protection and the hifazat of the Mubarak science of hadith. So this was something that was done and is still being done. Allah Ta'ala make it such that we understand these things. Otherwise, if a person doesn't put it in perspective, then he'll say, no, this is ghibat. So that's not ghibat. It's there for a specific purpose. That is number one under this first point. And the second thing he mentioned is witnesses. What would happen in an Islamic court, in an Islamic country, is a person will bring witnesses for his case. A person is claiming that a certain car is his. Now where's the proof, where's the evidence? He brings two witnesses and he comes to court. These are my witnesses. They saw that I purchased the car. So now the qazi that is there, he doesn't know what is the condition of these witnesses. Are these witnesses reliable, unreliable? Are just his pals that he brought there, his friends? He's got some. So now in Sharia there's something known as ta'adil. Ta'adil is where the court, the judge, will ask some people that know, generally it is pious people, reliable people, that can identify these two witnesses, and they can now confirm that these witnesses that he has brought are reliable witnesses. So it gives the judge a certain level of confidence that these witnesses that has been brought are reliable witnesses. So this is known as ta'adil. Now those people that are confirming whether the witnesses are reliable or not, so these people that are confirming, if they have to say this person here is a liar, we know him, in few cases he spoke lies, that person there is a suspect, we are not very confident about him. So these people that have been called for this process of ta'adil or tazkiyah, these people won't be regarded as making ghibat. They're just informing the judge that this is our impression of this person, this is what we understand him to be. So now the judge won't wrongfully give a verdict. So this is what is known as witnesses, where now you got to speak out against those witnesses that were brought, those people that have been. In fact, it becomes, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi says, it becomes wajib that this is done. Otherwise, what will happen to the whole justice system? The whole justice system will fail. I want to go to court, I can just bring whoever I want, and that person is not reliable. I may just pay him something on the side. And this is what happens. Sometimes we find that when the proper justice system is not meted out like what we see in this country, then there's a whole lot of oppression that takes place. So therefore, this is necessary. One is to protect the science of hadith, and one is to protect the institution of justice. Anyway, so this is under this fourth category. This is the first point that we did. As we're going on, we'll do more. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.